and record attendance. And do you need me to say anything, Jeremiah, or you got it?
I have it noted. Thanks.
Okay. And Jair is here in his new role with EdTech.
Hello, everyone.
Good to see you, Jair.
Oh, good to see you all.
good to see you, Bruce. Thank you for being here.
Right back at you guys, yeah.
Jair, how's it going at EdTech?
It's going good.
Dorothy's on 2 hours.
Right, you're right. Your performance appraisal will reflect.
It wasn't meant to be like,
tell me all the dirt.
Well, that wasn't what it was meant.
No, it's great.
Okay, I'll go ahead and call the meeting to order. Is there a motion to approve the agenda?
Bruce, motion.
Allison, second.
All right. Any questions or concerns on the agenda?
We'll wait till we get through it. Yeah, let's go.
All right. Bruce?
Okay. You want me to go? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, do you vote aye?
Oh, I said, yeah, Bruce, yes. I'm sorry. Okay.
Allison?
Allison? Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. Motion carries. Any presentations from the floor? Nope. All right. Dorothy and Jair, would you like to present? Which of you is?
Yeah. Hold on. Okay. So first we have some. Oh, is everything okay?
Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Okay. First, we have some state budget updates from the last week. Last week's governor's proposals. So overall, it seems pretty positive. Like, you know, more than 8% COLA. We'll actually know the final COLA, I think, the end of April, because there are two more numbers we're waiting for that determine the statutory COLA. There is this $300 million equity multiplier, but right now, looking at the CalPADS reports, it doesn't look like any of the environmental schools would qualify, only because it has a high threshold. You need to have more than 90% free lunch for the middle schools and 85% free for the high schools. And I know the schools all have a high, like free and reduced, but this is just the free percentage. One thing that wasn't so great is
What is Inglewood though? I thought they were really close to that, no?
Not just the free percentage, like free and reduced, it's like, yeah, you know, more than 90, but not just the free. Yeah. It's actually pretty, there's only gonna be a handful. Like, I think 300 schools in the state actually qualify, including district schools. One thing that wasn't so great is that there was going to be a decrease to the one-time funding from last year, which is the Arts Music Discretionary Grant. So now schools would only get about 65% of the entitlement. He explained it as it's like kind of a wash because we have this new arts and music money, except the decrease to this block grant is more than what schools would receive next year for the arts and music grant. But there would be some extra money for 12th graders for cultural enrichment, and this is for things like museums, theater, and art. Any questions on this? Okay, so with the COLA, that would affect all these different sources of funding. Probably the best exciting one would be for the facilities grant, because that has always been underfunded. And then just a quick reminder on the process. So we still have, you know, many months until we get another update, official update. And then of course you have to plan your budget and LCAP without, you know, the final info. We do have a table here on just all of the new fundings that have materialized in the last few years. So the middle schools get this expanded learning program, and they receive money for it monthly. And this is continuous funding. The hold harmless money from that had been debated over and over last year was finally arriving later this year, I guess starting next month in chunks. The next two, this arts and music, and this learning recovery, that this is these are both one-time state buckets from last year. And we've already been, 50% has already been dispersed. Obviously now that if this funding is going to be cut, we've received more than 50%. This ESSER-3 amount, this kind of just depends on the quarterly reports we have to do, and they only send it if you spend it. So this is just kind of, it depends if you're spending it. And then only the high school gets this A through G money, which they received a chunk of. And then the EEG is the educator effectiveness grant that all the schools have also received a good chunk of. But luckily, all the schools are good on cash, obviously, but maybe not the newest high school, but it's still nice to see the money coming in somewhat close to when you may want to spend it.
Dorothy, this is such an amazing chart. Thank you for this. Yeah. I love this. So helpful.
This next table is just a reminder on some of the entitlements for the one-time state. So originally I made it only had two columns. And then with last week's news, I just gave you the updated number with the proposed cut to the arts and music, just so you know. And I think only one of the schools is using the money this year, but otherwise all the other schools are pushing this into out years.
Can you just explain, I don't quite understand. So can you walk through this chart one more time here?
These are just the entitlements for the learning recovery, the one-time state money, and the arts and music block grant that was announced last year. We have multiple years to spend it, so we're not actually recognizing any of the money this year except at one school, which I think is at the new high school off the top of my head. But otherwise, we're pushing this money into future years. And then on top of that, we have all this other federal money. Like this year, we're using ESSER-2 money, and we still have ESSER-3 money. The point is, like, there's still a lot of money, like, to be used. Because I think in future slides, you're going to see we adjusted ADA down a lot this year. So I didn't want, and then through as the year goes, as the months, I don't know, before we close out the year, we may continue to adjust what revenues we use this year. So I just wanted to be clear, like there's a lot of future money that we are not using this year, but we could use, or maybe we'll use less of the money this year and push it to out years. It's kind of flexible right now because they're all this, it's like multi-year spending.
So column two is projected revenue, learning recovery?
This is what they originally announced.
The learning recovery column.
Oh, this one.
Yeah. Is that projected or that's real? That's what we have.
That's real. They already sent half of it.
Okay. Then the next column over is what we projected to spend of that?
No, this is the arts and music grant. They already sent half of this amount. Okay. But then last week they said they were going to decrease the overall entitlement.
Yeah.
So that would be this new amount.
So that's just so we're common language. So learning recovery is, let's just call that column one, arts and music, column two, and then the next one, column three. So column two, arts and music, is that a proportion of column one?
No, these two are separate grants.
They're separate, they're additive, okay. And then column three, the last one there, is an expense, is what we plan on spending, or that's additional revenue coming in?
This is the same as this column, but this is the prorated amount based on what the governor is proposing to make this year's or whatever next year's budget balance.
I see. So really it's 931K plus 211K is what we expect right now. Forget about the 325. That's what we budgeted. I understand that. Okay. Thank you for bearing with me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I have one clarifying question that kind of is consistent with what Bruce is asking. It seems like when I read through this that they budgeted at one number and then they decided to change it up after letting us know. Is it something that changed or was it never really hard coded? because it just, it brings up a question for me, like, will it change again? And is it better to use it early than it is to use it late?
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, you could use it now, but they wouldn't pay you that amount. So it's not, sure, like, it is possible they could cut this further. Yeah.
Yeah, because this is just a proposal right now.
Yeah. Oh,
it was approved at that middle column amount. He's proposing to cut it.
And that's just for the arts and music.
Block grant. Yeah, it's confusing because there's also now the Proposition 28 arts and
correct.
Music.
Correct. I get I get the difference of those two. I was just wondering if it was like if we had to worry about learning recovery being cut in the same way.
I mean, I think it was everyone was surprised they did a cut mid-year cut to a program already approved. So, I mean, it's possible, but I don't know.
But that's just an indication to me that if that's what's happening, then it's like deferral time or like it's a premonition to deferrals. Is that what you're feeling or do you think I'm just overreacting?
No, I mean, I think it's because they're both like arts and music. This program was cut like 1.2 million. And then the addition of this Prop 28, we thought it'd be 1 million, but I guess it's closer to like 940 million. So that's where they don't completely offset. It only really hurts you if you were if you plan to fully recognize this entire amount this year, because this offset, because you actually don't receive any of this Prop 28 money until next year. So I think like he was just trying to make it even though it's not a one-for-one trade and they're in different fiscal years, but I don't know. I don't know if I'm nervous yet about deferrals.
Okay. Thanks for that.
So this is just some, like a look at what the Prop 28, when the people voted election day, it passed. So it's a mix of how many kids are enrolled in the prior year, as well as the free and reduced lunch eligibility. And what is important about this is that it has to supplement, existing expense and cannot, supplant it. So if you're thinking about doing something this year, maybe just wait until next year to actually implement it so that you can, if you wanted to, use this money for it. So this begins next year and you have 3 years to spend each year's entitlement. Here are the estimated amounts for each school for next year. The one glitch is this would affect Lawndale maybe, but I can't remember. I think they are over 500 or they're really close to 500.
Yeah. And it's based on enrollment. Yeah. So they are over 500 enrolled. Yeah.
Okay.
Just barely.
So they do barely. I know. It's like, they're probably like 511 or something. Yeah. They have to spend 80% of this on staff as opposed to like just using the money to contract out. So that is, kind of a restriction. The board would be seeing this because it has to be approved and posted to the school website, and there will be expenditure plans required.
Got it.
Okay. So this is just a quick look, highlight of the schools and their operating incomes and how they changed since the last time you saw them. And mainly it's really driven by ADA decreases. So starting with Lawndale, we are now, so this is the budget, the enrollment in ADA, and then obviously the forecast, what we now have as the forecast and the actual months of enrollment in ADA. So P1 for Lawndale was at 478. So we ended up dropping the forecast by 24 ADA. And you can see it's really like, we're not super short from the enrollment, but the attendance percentage is definitely lower. And this is across all schools. The attendance percentage just has not returned to 2019 levels.
Bruce, do you need some framework for this?
Yeah, let me just ask a clarifying question on the chartsmanship real quick, just so I get my head around what we're saying. So enrollment is what we projected our enrollment would be, correct?
Yeah, for each
ADA.
Yeah, except these are the real ones.
Right. Oh, okay. Budget forecast month one. Got it. Right. ADA is currently what we are running, our average daily attendance. Now, the attendance percentage, though, that I'm trying to unpack the difference between those ADA and attendance percentage.
Yeah. So the one we're using for the forecast is 94.5. And we had been using, I guess it probably was something closer to 97 before. And I think we like kind of brought it down in the fall, but now we are using, now with 4 months of data, we're using something closer to like where it actually is landing.
So let's just go with month one. So we had 501 students enrolled. We budgeted that we would have average daily attendance of 96%, which is, almost 100% of kind of what our enrollment was, but less than what our forecast was. But then, and our attendance was a little bit less than what we projected our, I'm just trying to get my head around it. I'm sorry, I'm still a little dense here.
So I think, Bruce, let me take a stab at it. Bruce, you know how we used to have really high ADA attendance and we were closer to 97%?
Right.
I think we budgeted with the assumption that we were going to continue to, we might have like reduced it a little bit, but once we returned to school full time, we budgeted with the assumption that we were going to be closer to the higher level of attendance.
I thought we always budgeted to roughly 5% ADA and then we overachieved all the time. Do we stop doing that?
I'm going to defer to Dorothy.
We've been budgeting at 97% for a while, and we've been meeting the 97% mark for a while.
Oh.
And then we came back to budgeting too high again this year. And then our enrollment dipped as well. I just want to say for the framing of it, though, Bruce, this is bad, and there's a lot of resources being allocated to this, and we're doing a lot to try to get attendance back up again.
Yeah.
But having,
I understand that.
I just want it's a lot better than most of the schools adjacent to us. But still, it's not as good as it should be.
I get that, right? And I know that you guys are really this is your laser focused on this. I'm just trying to understand the budgeting process and why we thought going into this year that we were going to be much higher in ADA.
Well, and I can address that a little bit, Bruce. Yeah. I don't know if you remember, there were a few years there where we way, way, way exceeded our budget, like almost $1 million better than budget. And
we sandbagged what our ADA would be and we had much higher attendance.
Well, there were lots of things. We're also very conservative on expenditure assumptions. And so everything kind of came together and we ended up with very, very high net incomes at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And so we decided to become less conservative in some ways because we wanted to be closer to using their full net income.
Understood.
So as to like not be shorting the school resources.
Right.
But we also knew that we have a lot of this one-time funding that we could pull in if need be. So I think it was the combination of those things is why we budgeted probably a little too optimistically, I guess.
Yeah, I guess I'm just wondering because we knew that, and I'm not beating anybody up. I'm just kind of get my head around the strategy. I mean, we knew last year that our ADA continued to fall. And I'm just trying to understand why we projected it would even be much better this year going into it when we've had, we've had a trend line for the last 2 years have been pretty poor. And now we again looked at it way too optimistically. That's what I'm trying to get my head on.
I don't know. During COVID, we were able to have attendance above 95%. And so it is optimism, definitely. Yeah. But we were able to sustain attention and connection with students at really high rates. It was unrealistic. The thing that we didn't predict was how much of an impact every time a kid has a sniffles and their parents says, oh, now I have to keep them home, which is a culture shift that all of us are experiencing right now. Thus, I am at home right now. I would normally be like taking medication and sitting in the office and exposing everyone to me. So that I think it's definitely a big dose of optimism, Bruce.
But also because we're, I was just going to say, because we're in a unique position this year where we have millions of dollars of one-time funds that we can use as a cushion if we need to.
I guess, you know, it's, you know, the challenge, of course, is how do you guys look at this for next year kind of thing? And how do we, you know, have kind of...
We're definitely being much more conservative next year.
I mean, kind of standards-based grading kind of thing based on...
We're being a lot more conservative. We've already had a conversation with all the principals about it, so...
So to get the projections of expenditures, you know, more aligned with what our real revenue anticipation...
Absolutely.
Interesting. Okay. I'm sorry. I appreciate the time you guys.
The rest will be the same. So they,
right.
They
no. Yeah. Really. Okay.
Okay. So for Lawndale, we have this big jump in federal revenue, and mainly it was added because we had the big drop over here on the ADA. The loss in revenue. So with this revenue, we're using ESSER-3 money, and we're also adding a chunk because we got the entitlements from the, I can't remember what the E stands for, but the connectivity fund that pays for like the computers and like things like that.
Emergency connectivity.
Thank you. there were some savings in staffing. We did not end up filling the intervention position, and there are some open SPED positions. And we added some money for donations. And then there were some increased expenses in books and supplies. We're spending more in computers, more in furniture. And then those increased expenses were offset by savings in food service, the food actual expense. And you'll see that at the other schools too. Mainly because compared to last year, less students are taking meals. There is an increased expense in services and other. Most of this is for rent because of the Lawndale properties lease. We also have higher sub expense and some prior year expenses. And this is how we get to, you know, just over break even for Lawndale. And again, in like the future months, if ADA, we can still continue to see like how ADA pans out, and we can change how much we use for federal more or less. And the same with adding any of that one-time stay money if we wanted to.
How come, did you say that we misprojected the Lawndale lease cost?
No, we added a lease.
Tracy, this goes to Bruce's question about the lease adjustment that I sent out in the Menlo email. Okay. Can you explain that a little bit?
In order to capture SB 740 revenues, we put together this lease for Lawndale properties for the portables on the campus.
Right.
So we were still, that was still in process back when we made this budget, but, you know, it's been, we got our appraisal and all of that. So we went ahead and added it in. It's offset by funding.
I still got questions. I mean, I don't know if you guys want to take time afterwards to do this, or I could just ask the question now, but really the question to me with regards to that email that you sent out, Allison, is if we are in fact getting reimbursed for it, then I don't understand why we don't want high lease cost versus lower lease cost. And we're making a redetermination to lower the lease cost for the schools. And that's what I can't seem to align.
Do you want me to?
Yes, please.
I'm worried about timing a little bit. Do we want to do that here? Do we want to do that afterwards?
I mean, that's fine.
I think it's brief too. Okay. So SB 740 is the program that provides us the funding. Yep. It requires that you get a fair market appraisal in order to justify your rent. So we got that appraisal And so we lowered the rent to match the appraisal because we won't get funded for the differential.
Oh, that is the key information that is missing from your emails, Allison. That is going to help. So it's a requirement compliance-wise to do that, and we have to match it.
We don't have to match it, but...
You won't get reimbursed.
Exactly, yeah. Why would we charge the school?
Well, okay.
And not get reimbursed.
And then the next question is to Allison later on. We can do this over email, I guess, which is, well, does the lease for the schools include a redetermination clause that allows them to lower it?
And well, I this would be the one redetermination, but
I understand it's a redetermination that we're doing that we're all doing because of.
So the lease doesn't have to have a redetermination if both Menlo and ECHS agree to the redetermination.
Yeah.
As long as both parties agree, it doesn't matter.
Okay, let's save it for afterwards. I still got a couple of questions about that. Keep going. I'm sorry to keep delaying everybody.
Okay. This is the middle school at Gardena. So we ended up like adjusting their forecast down to 325 ADA. So their P1 was at 326. And we ended up adjusting the forecast down by 15 ADA. So in terms of how we got all these changes, similarly, we added federal revenue to offset the big loss in revenue for ADA. So most of this federal revenue is SR3, also a small chunk for that connectivity fund. They had some extra donations. Overall, they had some savings in their food program. their rent was updated to match COLA. This is to maximize the SB 740 grant. And then books and supplies increased. Half of this is for computers. And then they had extra expenses for furniture and non-instructional supplies. But you can see the loss in ADA, that was over $200,000, and how we get to $50,000 in operating income. So for Inglewood, this is what we're assuming for now, their forecasted ADA. Their P1 was at 335, so their forecast dropped by 14 ADA.
Can I point one thing out, Dorothy? I just want to point out, Inglewood is now back up to 358, but their enrollment has stayed incredibly strong during this time. They've had very, very few exits. And the absence gap that is linked largely to there's some chronic absenteeism going on there as well that we're really trying to wrap our arms around. But I do think there's some things to celebrate in this, in that enrollment is staying quite strong for both of these campuses at this time.
That's true. So very similarly, we added more federal revenue of SR3 and the connectivity money. They had some savings in staffing. They didn't hire their ELD teacher, and then there's someone on leave. They had some savings with the food program, and then they had extra expenses for prior year expense, computers, and this is their decrease in revenue with the ADA adjustment. So right now we're just showing them to be about break even. For the new high school in Gardena, their P1 was at 205, so we're keeping it very close for the rest of the year, and but their forecast did drop by 13 ADA. So they had some savings in teachers. Some people that were hired came in less, but this is somewhat offset in increased substitutes over here. The federal revenue, we added some more. We're using SR3, and they got a small amount in that connectivity money. We are using some of this one-time state money, $70,000 in the discretionary block grant, and then $30,000 in learning recovery. We did have extra expenses in tech services and building maintenance and auto maintenance because they do have some vans. And then the increased expenses for subs, as mentioned, and then their revenue adjustment for the lower ADA was over $200,000. Looking at cash.
Real quick. You know what would be helpful, I think, maybe for the board, and maybe you've already done this in other places, but you know, a little bit of a hey, this is what you're seeing, Dorothy, amongst your other customers, amongst the community, and amongst the state with regards to ADA, so that you know the board, I think, understands that you know we're kind of swimming along with everybody else, and we're all facing the same challenges, so they're not unique to us. Because there's nothing in here that tells us, you know, that we're the unicorn, basically. Yeah.
I think that would be especially helpful, Bruce. Thank you for suggesting it, since we have three new board members coming on, and this they don't have the context of what we've been talking about with COVID all these months.
Or how, you know, for the last 20 years, you've been really close to your projected, or you know, you've done the opposite, right? Or we projected to, you know, favorably kind of thing. And so now we're
in the good feedback.
Keep going on. I mean, maybe they asked that question, Dorothy. Are you seeing this across the board? You don't have to deep dive in it, but are we aligned with what you see?
Yeah, all the schools are struggling with attendance percentage.
Yeah.
It's a mix. If they have lower, it's like similar to you guys. Like some have steady enrollment, right? Like how Inglewood looks. I can't remember how. And Gardena is pretty close too, right? They're actually over in month four. But then there are other schools that are short kids. Very rarely you see a school exceeding their enrollment exceeding what we budgeted. It's like two schools.
Yeah, but we don't know what they budgeted. So I mean that's not really the relevant. It's really what are they running?
At recent LACO and CCSA meetings, I can find some data points on this. They've been reporting like a majority of schools are at the 90% attendance rate right now. I can get some of that as well.
And what are the themes that they're going to correct, and why are we, you know, how are we all trying to figure this out and get better? That kind of
thing. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say in our little CSGF group for Nas, I'm hearing 89 to like 92% at best. Like,
yeah.
I could try to find something.
It's a national trend, and I think everybody's working on it, and you guys are aligned with that. And you, that's what you wanted to synthesize.
Thanks, Chris.
This is the last slide. Cash is okay. Obviously it's a little, Gardena is the newest school, so their cash isn't so great. But I know Tracy and her team, they're managing that very carefully.
Yeah. We actually just, finally completed the underwriting for the line of credit. So we'll have a $600,000 line of credit to use if we need to help shore up the cash.
And that LOC is for who?
It's for the whole organization, though technically Lawndale's financials are the one that pulled it through the finish line because they're not tied up in that obligated group financing.
But, so it really goes to the CMO then?
Yeah, it's for ECS. Yeah.
Cool. So despite who the authorizer is, it's available to anybody?
Correct.
Awesome. Great job.
That was the last slide.
Thanks, Dorothy. It's a lot. It's not easy to deliver that kind of news.
All right.
Share screen.
Oh yeah. Do you have something to share for?
Oh no. I just want if you wanted me to share the agenda.
Oh, that's okay. I have it up in front of me. yeah. So the next item on here is fiscal cliff. Cutbacks discussion. Did you want to start this off, Farnaz, and contribute?
We've had a conversation with our cabinet members. So we first talked about it with Tracy, and I went through the budget and thought about ways that we could find savings. Then we took it to cabinet, met with each of the principals individually, and then met with them as a whole, met with the entire home office as a whole. And really what we're trying to present to them is that we know that in 1 to 2 years, we're going to start not having as many federal funds to rely on. And the steady growth of funding is not, you know, the 8% COLA is not going to be sustainable. And we know that in about 1 to 2 years, we're going to have to start. We planned on it. We hired all of these positions intentionally to meet the needs of our kids at this time. And we knew that at some point we would have to cut many of them, and that's coming. And that given the fact that that's coming in a year and a half or so, it's really important for us to present to our staff a thoughtful, methodical budget and plan, and that we're not spending sort of haphazardly on things that are less important. So gradually starting to plant the seeds with all levels of staff that, hey, this is coming. So please be conscious of the fact that this is coming and we won't be able to serve. Like, in order to retain staff, we were serving meals more frequently. We had a major teacher shortage. So we were doing things to to be a more enticing workplace. And now we're going to have to pull back on those changes gradually. Tracy, do you want to add on to that?
I don't know that I have a whole lot to add. We also talked to the principals in this same discussion about that we're going to be much more conservative with our ADA forecast next year. And I think I can say again in that peer group that I'm in, I think across the board, everyone is feeling similarly that even though the state budget looks really positive, we're all kind of coming out with our messaging of, and we also have to cut because we know what's coming down the pike.
Yeah. I think it's the right thing to do. I mean, to me, it's you know, it's just preaching the culture that it's coming and just keep hitting them with the same thing. So everybody's on the same page. It's just.
Yeah. And I liked the way you framed it, Farnaz, that you had been through a cycle of, good times and then subsequent bad times, and people feel it's hard. It's much harder for people if you spend extravagantly and then have nothing left, and have to cut cut severely. So I thought that was helpful as well in the framing.
And the principals have started to do a pretty good job of gradually messaging this to staff without causing trauma. Like, hey, this is our fanciest food vendor that we get for our professional developments. We won't be getting them anymore. So make sure you really enjoy the food today. Things like that, just to gradually taper them down and be more thoughtful. And I feel like I wanted to bring this to you guys and to everybody, because I at the time when all of the ESSER and GESSER and all the other funding sources came, I said, we want to be the type of leadership team that spends appropriately for the needs of our students now. And that it'll be painful to cut back, but I don't want to put all of this away for some other time because our kids need the resources now. And I just want to feel the need to keep reminding people that we did this strategically and thoughtfully, and it will hurt at some point, but we need to be prepared for that and not think that we failed. We just did the strategic right thing for our students at that time. Cause it always feels like a bit of a failure to cut employees at some point. The reality of it is, however, we have turnover because we have a very young team and they seek leadership and they grow. So it may not be as aggressive of a termination shift that happens at some point, because people will gradually either go on to be teachers if they're paras or go on to be leaders if they're teachers. We have a very ambitious crew. So I think it just planting the seed is the intention of this agenda item.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, but you know, the attrition is not always in the places that you want to see it kind of thing.
That is absolutely true.
I just want to add to the conversation that I think Farnaz did a really good job coming up with this list that she proposed out and shared with, you know, myself and other directors, and then at a cabinet meeting with all the principals. And I think that it kind of set the tone for what's ahead without scaring people. And Farnaz, I think you did an amazing job doing that. And I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you, Allison. So with that, I think we're, unless anyone has questions, I think we're good to move on to the next agenda item. I just wanted to plant the seed and make sure everyone's conscious of it too.
Really helpful.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hey, okay. So the next item is the consent agenda. We have three items: the private donations approval, the check registers and credit card statements approval, which is a massive item, but and then board approval of a couple of contracts for HVAC and outdoor ed. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
I'll move. It's Allison.
Okay. I'll second.
You know, we're not supposed to have discussion, but if you'll afford me, I got through some of the credit card statements, and just one in particular jumped out, one question, and maybe that's because I did not get a chance to review the HVAC contract, but there's a number of months in there with the exact same charge. One month it's got it $99,213 twice for HVAC, and then another month it's got the exact same charge again. And is it because we're splitting up a large bill that way? Is it financing? What? And then one month it doesn't even have a description. It just has a $99,213 with the same vendor.
I'll review that one, but I know that we did split one really big bill. So that might be what you're seeing there. But we'll review it one more time to make sure that it's split up correctly.
Okay. Okay. And then just kind of a curiosity question. What is CHLIC Chicago for
$182,000? Hmm. That is Cigna. That is a medical provider. Yeah. So there's like a big chunk going there.
Yeah, that's a big whopper. And so, yeah. Okay.
I checked that one and forgot, Bruce. Thank you for catching it. I was like, what?
Yeah. And then there's another weird one, you know, since I'm delaying, but, you know, $22,000 to Amazon to how to build a house. There's a weird one in there too. So.
Oh, my. Yes, that was a big one. We're working on moving the way that we memo our checks. Sometimes it just pulls instead of doing the highest and the lowest. So that was just, I think, a slip up, but we'll add that next time.
Yeah. Or just, you know, just fill out the notes field a little bit more just so that, you know, I just hate to have the auditor come back to you guys and kind of start questioning all this. It's just going to take more time later.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. And they actually see it differently. This is a report that's pulled for specifically for board approval. So the auditors see the whole general ledger. So yeah. It's more just making it better for you guys for approval.
Okay. You can send it to vote if you want.
Okay. No other questions. All right. Bruce, do you approve?
Aye.
Allison?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. Motion carries. So the action items, the first is recommend board approval of revised Lawndale Properties lease agreement, which we talked about a little bit, the reason for this. Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve.
A second?
Second.
All right. Any discussion on that?
So I'm clear. So we're aligning the lease cost to a requirement for the SB 740 money so that we're lowering the cost to the schools. Therefore, the CMO is taking less revenue in, but still has the same expenses.
Wait, we're increasing the cost to the schools, but we're also simultaneously increasing their reimbursement through SB 740.
I thought it's the opposite.
So Farnaz, this first one is the CHS Lawndale one.
Sorry.
And so that was the one where the appraisal came in lower than our lease amount. And this is the one where we really don't have a whole lot of costs aside from like maintenance because we own the portables. So yes, we are lowering it because really it's in excess of our costs anyway. So,
you guys, I guess my really honestly, you thought through this strategically, this makes sense.
Yeah, Allison, were you going to say something?
I was just going to clarify that the lessor is Menlo Charter Properties, because the lessor now owns the portables. That was all the portables were transferred to the lessor in a sale agreement.
Yeah.
It was just that you had mentioned that it was the CMO that was getting the extra revenue, and the CMO is not getting the revenue. It's Menlo Charter Properties. And then Menlo can give donations back to the schools as it sees fit, because it's a nonprofit.
Yeah, but I think what he meant, Allison, is that Lawndale will get additional SB 740 revenues as a result of this lease. Now, of course, it's exactly. less than the cost, but yeah.
Okay.
It's 75% of the cost.
So Bruce, if you want to talk, I'm going to be driving for the next 30 minutes.
I'm okay. I just think that you've got a team there from Menlo that is not all aligned, I think, a little bit. And I'm not sure your answer last night solved it all. I think that was part of, some of the clarification we got today was really helpful for me. And so I understand it a little bit better now. But
Okay, good feedback.
I think that's good feedback. And maybe Tracy, Allison, and I should think about how to explain it so that I can understand it. And then the rest of the board will be likely to understand it as well.
I think so. I asked a couple of questions, and Allison, when you responded last night, you didn't address those. And I think really the key here is that there's a requirement in SB 740 for this audit. I mean, for this, redetermination, you've done the redetermination. Now you're complying with that. We're not losing any money, because that's what I was thinking of. Why are we going to, charge less if we can get reimbursed more, kind of thing? So I thought we should increase it, but I guess not. And so I'm much clearer now. I'm okay. You just want to think about how you, or just respond to those guys a little bit.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm sorry, I didn't. It's good feedback, Bruce. I didn't take all those questions out of the original question. I was thinking about it differently. So
we're okay. Yes, you got to get everybody aligned. That's it. You'll be able to do it.
For sure. Thank you.
Okay. Cool.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and do the vote now. I think we did motion and second, right, Jeremiah?
Yes, we did.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, so Bruce.
Bruce, aye.
Allison.
Aye.
Farnaz.
Aye.
Denise.
Aye.
And Tracy, aye. Motion carries. Item B is recommend board approval of revised UConn LLC sublease agreement amendment. So this is a bit different. This one had to do with when we got our fair market rent appraisal for SB 740, it became apparent that the description in the lease of the premises was wrong. Allison, do you want to further describe?
I think Brian Holman had rewrote the leases for us, and I think he just got confused because the Inglewood site is really complicated. He did put a clause into the lease that if there was any discrepancy, that we would have to look at the underlying agreements. He sent off an approval to the bank to make sure that they were okay. EFF was okay with us revising the description of the premises so it would accurately reflect the underlying other subleases. And so he got that approval, and he amended the language.
I saw his note. I'm fine.
He apologized for the mistake.
Yeah.
Okay, great. And I realized I don't think I did. Do I have a motion to approve the revised sublease agreement?
I make a motion to approve.
Okay, I'll second. Any other discussion on this one or questions? All right, Bruce?
Bruce, aye.
Allison?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Denise?
Sorry, aye. My mute button, I couldn't get my mute off.
Oh, of course. And Tracy, aye. Motion carries. 5 minutes early.
We have appreciations that might last a while now. I do want to do a special appreciation for Sarai. She has stepped into the role of manager of the accounting and payroll team, and has done so with so much kindness and grace and thoughtfulness and responsibility. And I also, since Jair is here, want to appreciate the way that he developed her and held her hand and coached her to be the type of leader she is. And Tracy for being her mentor and support system and now hosting her over there. Sorry, we're really, really lucky to have you. And I just feel very grateful that you're in the role that you're in. So thank you.
I agree. And thanks, Jair, for making it possible.
Thanks for leaving, buddy.
No. For developing her and coaching
right,
her.
Right.
You know, and he's still with us in a sweet way. It's nice to see you in our inbox regularly. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I really appreciate still having Jair on our team, even if he's technically with a different employer. It's lovely having his feedback and help still through EdTech.
Yeah.
I'm still glad to be here.
Here.
Thank you, Dorothy, for hiring Jair.
Yay.
And also, since you guys are not on the audit committee, a big celebration of Jeremiah and the entire finance team for tremendous work on the audit again, and a clean audit again for year 20 or 21 of clean audits. Hooray.
Oh, awesome. I didn't see that in the finance committee. You should probably add that.
Yeah, good point.
Send it along, you know.
We had the audit committee yesterday. And
audit committee.
It was yesterday, so.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah.
Any, no findings at all?
None.
Fantastic. It was a super, super complicated year. So yeah, thanks again, Dorothy and Jair and Sadie and everybody. It was Jeremiah, like, there was so much going on and it was not an easy year to close out. So
BFD, absolutely. Great job, guys.
And Bruce and Denise, thank you so much for being online with us. We appreciate you. Hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
Before we close, is there any follow-up, Bruce, that you want to have? Do you want to chat after this about Menlo?
No, I got it. I'm okay.
Okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure that you understood, and then I can follow up with the rest of the team, rest of the Menlo team, because I think there's one or two other people that had some questions.
Yeah, I'm fine. I appreciate that. I appreciate you checking back in. Yeah.
All right. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
I motion to adjourn.
I'll second. Bruce?
Bruce, aye.
Allison?
Aye.
Farnaz?
Aye.
Denise?
Aye, and thank you all so much.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Everyone.
Bye. Bye.